Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mike Tomlin, more on Matt Canada, saying the offense really had to stay basic. You had to use red paint because...
it's the only paint he had.
Would
man.
You say that we probably need to sub in a different color?
What about some yellow paint?
No, we know.
Gold.
Make the joke, Malzie.
Purple.
More like brown paint because they were playing like doo-doo.
Oh, you would want to bring your Cleveland paint over here.
Malzie,
oh, you keep your Cleveland paint in Cleveland, you Cleveland guy.
That's Come Clean brought to you by Get Going in Great Detail. Chris Muller there.
Said doo-doo multiple times on the show in the last like week or so. I got to figure that one out.
You don't have another term for crap that you want to use?
Crap seems so...
what?
Crap?
Crass?
Yeah. You say doo-doo and it's kind of funny. Yeah.
You think you get a laugh from certain segments of the audience when you say doo-doo?
Like, haha, he said doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he said a funny.
Listening back to some of Tomlin's greatest hits from today's season-ending press conference.
Do you look forward to finding that next, or the opportunity to find that next franchise quarterback?
I'm excited about that challenge. Those of us that are competitors are. It's a challenge, man. It makes you uneasy. But I've learned to run to those challenges. I've learned to appreciate those challenges. The uncertainty surrounding them is inspiring to me in terms of producing work.
That is a very, I think, interesting concept when evaluating the 2021 Steelers. Is there a strong feeling inside over there that they were held back by Ben because of how old he was, what he had left, but also what he had meant to the organization? So you have to be sensitive of that. You have to respect that. And now that he's gone, it's like, oh, like we can exhale a little bit. We can...
That's how I feel, and I know they're going to be struggling most likely for a while, but like I've said this a million times to you specifically, Pony, I want to see struggling and different. Like I might not see right. Good football for a year or two.
New issues, though. Let me get new issues.
Yeah, I just want something different than knowing like from the last 6 weeks of last year, like,
because I think Tomlin could have answered that question differently. I think he could have said, what do you mean? Ben Roethlisberger was so good for so long. I'm not looking forward to life without him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Gold Jacket guy.
Well, I took it in a different direction route. Even than that, though, Arthur. If he's so excited for the challenge, why did they wait 1 year longer than a lot of people
thought they should?
Lie.
That was where I kind of went.
That's where my brain went.
I felt like, you know, you're trying to oversell it a little bit. being a guy who's been a part of multiple searches for franchise quarterbacks, I don't think anyone is eager for that, except a guy who has never had to experience that. That sounded like a guy who's never had to experience that. So this is going to
and
be
you
a
did.
New...
You played in Buffalo.
Multiple, even in Arizona that last year. Don't forget that. That was the whole Rosen and Sam Bradford.
What is up with the strength coach in Arizona?
Oh, you talking about Buddy?
What is the deal with this dude?
Buddy is cool, though, man. But Buddy is... Listen,
he used to be pitch strength coach back in the day.
So he knows a lot of the guys that are still over here. Garrett Guimont, who's still been the strength coach, Marcel Pastore. Yeah, Buddy's an awesome dude, but Buddy is different. Buddy doesn't wear shoes. He's like the weirdest
dude.
Wait,
what do you mean he doesn't wear shoes?
No, like he doesn't wear shoes. Like he walks around barefoot all the time with that cutoff that y'all saw in the video. Like, yeah, that's him like every day.
Is it one of those lifting things where he's like, you shouldn't be doing Olympic lifts in shoes, your feet are your best base?
I'm sure part of it is that. Then I know he said, because I'm the guy, of course, I'm always going to ask questions. And I was like, yo, Buddy, like, why do you like showing your feet? Like, is that like your thing? And he was like, well, you know, sometimes shoes hurt my feet, so I don't want to deal with that either. And I'm like, what if you're in a weight room. We talk
gross
about
floor,
safety.
Yeah.
What if a weight just dropped on your foot? Well, you know, I've never had to worry about that, Arthur. And I'm like, oh, all right, we'll see. But that's Buddy, though. Buddy is cool, though. I like Buddy, man.
Imagine Rex Ryan just shows up at the Cardinals facility, breaks through the wall. I want to work with this guy.
Like, seriously, we saw he's like, yo, bro, like, you don't put shoes on at all? Like, ever.
It looks like he had the Cardinals make special cutoff sleeved shirts for him. And he's got those old school Popeye armed guns.
And you see the tattoos
with the tattoos.
Yes.
Yeah, the Rock was talking about him last night on the Manning cast.
You don't mess with that guy.
No, not Buddy. Nah.
Donnie, he looks like a guy that you would look up to.
He kind of gives me Bill Goldberg vibes.
Like the retired version of Goldberg, yeah.
Just don't mess with this guy. He's a badass. Yeah. He also doesn't wear shoes, but he's a badass.
See, I always said Buddy reminded me of a Breaking Bad. It was an old... The
I know you're talking
about. You know
about.
What I'm talking about? Yeah, he's like...
Mike Ehrmantraut.
That guy, yes. Yeah, that's who he reminds me of.
That guy was awesome.
That's
funny.
When you're meeting with players, particularly leadership, to what degree is the suggestion box open?
The size of the suggestion box depends on who I'm talking to. Some people have earned the right to share perspective. Some people have been around long enough to have real perspective and understand and were components of building the culture and things that we value. And so those opinions are weighted more heavily, obviously. And so it's really handled on an individual basis. And man, I'm information gathering. I'm learning in these meetings, and I do just as much or more listening as I do talking now. Talking is a component of it, because if you sit in my seat, I think it's very important. Important that you give a guy something from an evaluation standpoint, some perspective based on your perceptions of what it is that they've done or didn't do, and to provide some clarity in terms of how they move forward as individuals. And there's some information being given by me, but equally as important to me is the information I receive and my openness to it.
So what would be a typical Arthur Motes Steelers exit meeting? Take us through what that's
individualized
like.
One, the one-on-one, right?
Yep.
For me, let's see.
Would you feel in that situation? I mean, you obviously respected.
Yeah.
Walter Payton Award nominee. Like, obviously, the organization thought very highly of you. Would Tomlin allow for you to put some things in the suggestion box, as he said there?
Yes, he would. But for me, it's different in the sense of, like, I think he's referring to some of, like, certain guys on the team, they feel like, hey, I have suggestions of why we can be better. I never really cared to that extent of, oh, let me give you my big vision of what we need to change and stuff like that. When we would have our conversation, it was more about me in particular and about my role, my play, whether
they speak in plain English.
Sometimes, yes.
Oh, no.
Sometimes. And there was other times he's going to give you the Tomlin is, and I'm looking at him like, coach, I love you. I respect you, but don't talk to me like I'm a media guy, man. Just tell me, like, directly what you mean.
Oh, you said that too.
No, I have said that before. Yeah, I have said that. But it wasn't year one saying that.
Yeah, of course.
We're talking, you know, by the time I'm 8-9 year veteran, it's like, yeah, I'm respected. I'm 30 years old. I got kids. Like, yeah,
tell
I'm going
to be straight.
Exactly. So when you get to there, it's different, but I'm not going to act like in 2014, you know, we were just sharing information. I'm over here. Hey, coach, you know, we need to do this offseason. Resign me, bring this guy back. Like, that wasn't the case.
Were they long conversations? Were they casual? Like, what's
No. Some of them were longer than others. Put it like this. 14 was a lot longer than 17. Both contract years, but 14, they wanted me to come back. So they were already trying to get ahead of that in terms of just some of the overselling. Hey, man, I think your role could be like this. We know you did this already. We're going to add this, and that, and that, and that. Whereas in 17, it was, hey, you know, TJ came in, played really well, but he's playing really well. You know, I think for you, you got a family. It's all about, you know, money at this time. So make sure you go out there and get the best deal that you could get. And that's kind of where he left. And I'm like, all right, I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And that's why I look, I'm like, coach, you ain't got to give me that. Like, we know what this was when I was on the active roster and y'all guaranteed that money this year for me. I took that as the nice gesture. I'm going to hug you, and it's all love. But we know what this meant when you brought those guys in.
Uh-huh.
But in 2014, that conversation didn't go like that. In 2014, gotcha. He didn't tell me he was about to draft, you know, another linebacker that same, you know, year after you signed the deal. It was like none of that. It was, hey, man, this is going to be good. Everything's worked out.
You know what?
Like, yeah,
honestly,
when you said, hey, coach, I know what this means.
Yeah.
What did he say back?
He just kind of chuckled. It's like,
yeah, okay.
You know what I gleaned from that, though, the 2014 conversation Arthur is talking about?
Mm.
It gives, I think, I hope our listeners can hear this. Like, I can understand a little bit more how the Melvin Ingram thing happened.
Exactly. And that's why when we would come up here and I would talk about it, I was like, I don't fault Melvin because I was Melvin. And not to the same extent of money and expectations, but where you're told one thing and you believe it. You want to believe it. And you feel like, hey, everything's working out that way. But for various reasons, it changes. For Melvin, it started one way, and it was good for him, really good, and then it shifted. For me, it was the opposite. I hated it here the first 2 weeks because I had 6 total snaps, and I'm told I'm going to be a part of a rotation.
Yeah.
And it took Jarvis getting hurt for me to get that opportunity. Once I got the opportunity, things changed. And then from there, it was like, yeah, I would love to stay. I would love to sign back. But the first couple weeks, it was the exact opposite of that. So when I'm listening to Melvin, I'm like, well, yeah, Melvin, at the beginning, you was playing a lot. Everything was going well. And then it shifted. Yeah, I know why you were pissed. I, too, was pissed before. I know why you look like that. I, too, used to look like that. Difference was, I just didn't say it publicly. Worse for him, like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and communicate this with the higher-ups and go about it the way he did. But, yeah, that is a normal thing, man.
Had two guys coming back from ACLs this year in Bush and Banner. How do you weigh, you know, that recovery with their performance this year?
Those decisions aren't made in a vacuum. When you talking about, you know, fifth-year options and things of that nature, there's a global component to it. In terms of the rest of the squad, I'm appreciative of the efforts of both guys. It was not an easy process for either guy. We would have liked it to be more fluid. They would have liked it to be more fluid, to produce more consistent fluid productivity and availability. And that's often the case when you deal with major knee injury. It's not always fluid. You like to hope that it is. It's not always the case. And I think it's acceptable to say that, you know, we expect 2022 to be significantly better for most. I think most statistical data and things that I can reference, experiences that I can reference, that is the case as well. 2021 was what it was for those guys. I think we should all look and can look optimistically in that regard toward 2022.
Yep. Does that make you think that Bush is going to get the fifth-year option?
Man, obviously that's where my brain was going, that whole answer.
By saying there's other things to take into account.
Correct. That makes me think, yes. To answer your question, yes. To use the Jeff Hathorn, he can hint at little things to you. It makes me think two things. That Bush is going to get his option picked up. Partly, by the way, because they just do not want to admit that mistake and they're willing to roll the dice. Arthur's smiling here. The other thing I glean from that, I know this isn't the direction you wanted to necessarily go, Pony. I think that means that maybe with Zach, it wasn't like this confounding, why isn't he playing, that maybe his knee was genuinely never like up to snuff, and they were doing him trying to do him a favor or do him a solid.
But the first part of the answer, if I just stopped it there, we have to think of the roster globally before the fifth year option. That would have made me think, no,
I would agree.
He's
with
not going to get it. But then he went into excuse making with the knee.
And remember, he
that's
never
the
had
part
any
for me where it's like in that answer. You can hear both sides of it. I'm like, okay, are you going to make the tough decision or are you going to seek comfort?
I think he's going to give him the fifth-year option.
I was leaning towards the fifth year. Now, the biggest question to me is just in terms of his value. Where do we fall with that as the roster is currently constructed? If you don't pick up the option, now you're potentially saying that, you know what, he's going to be another hole that we're going to need to address within, you know,
2 years.
Yeah, within the super soon future. So that's just another thing you could be creating. Or if you're Coach Tomlin, you say, you know what? I believe that Devin is going to come back to looking more like year one Devin versus what we've seen this year. If he truly believes that, then
it sounds like he might.
That's the part I'm a little leery about.
Yeah, me too.
Mike, you have two free agents at cornerback, you know, Joe and Akello. Would you like to have at least one of those guys back?
When you're dealing with free agency, it's free agency for us, it's free agency for them. I'm sure they're weighing what's best for them. We need to weigh what's best for us, and oftentimes that includes them and the field. And the draft component, there's a lot of significant discussions and plans that need to be had regarding personnel and our moves regarding them. I value both guys. I'm open to doing business with both guys, but boy, there's a lot of layers in that discussion that involve them and their position, and also people in positions outside of them.
Hayden tweeted earlier today, don't close the door on me yet. So he's still weighing his options. I think that given how corner is such an important position and valued position, I think someone will pay him a premium for 1 or 2 years. So I would guess he's not back. I think he'll go to the highest bidder, and I think that they'll...
Do you think it has to be the highest bidder or a combination of high, very high bidder and competitive situation?
I'll put it this way. I think in this analogy that I'm going to use, Hayden is Mike Wallace and Witherspoon is AB when he was young. I think Hayden will price himself out of Pittsburgh, and I think they'll do a kind of middle deal with Witherspoon where he's not quite paid like a number one corner, but also not paid like a depth corner either. They're going to try to find that sweet spot.
I guess my question, though, if you're a team not named the Pittsburgh Steelers, which of those two guys would you be willing to pay? Because I could easily see where a team would say they would want to go with Akello because of the youth, because of how he finished the season with the interceptions. And we know with Joe, you know,
gets injured.
Yeah, and you know,
and Pringle burned him in the playoff game too.
Wasn't the best performance. I love Joe. Joe's my guy. I don't want to do that, but you know, he ain't had the best performance down the stretch.
I think like if we were having this conversation 20 years ago, don't laugh. And you still have owners that are trying to collect baseball cards, mm-hmm. like Daniel Snyder
yes.
did.
Yeah.
Bruce Smith, Deion uh-huh. Sanders.
They would go with the Joe Hayden.
I think there'd be a lot more Joe Hayden interest, right. but I think ultimately a lot of teams have gotten progressively more wise yeah. about how they do these deals.
Yeah.
So I'd say Witherspoon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.